world and this culture, this underworld that they just had fallen in love with. Iggy was just different from all of them. I mean, this was a guy who had this solid life by day and a shady life by night. But Iggy was a hustler and not an action bowler so much. Action bowlers were guys like Ernie Schlegel, the main subject of the book, or Mike Limangiello, who wanted to put it all on the line and bowl their best against the best to see who was the best. But a hustler is a guy who is trying to make you believe that he's not quite as good as he knows, as the hustler himself knows he is, but he's not going to let on because he wants to lure people into an easier match and make some easy dough. So Iggy would bet against himself and bowl badly on purpose to make some easy money. But this one night, he found himself bowling against another guy who was doing the same thing, and neither knew that their opponent was also betting against himself. They were both backed by backers, one of whom had a gun, and the other was a very moneyed guy who trusted Iggy, but he thought Iggy was selling him out because the other guy was bowling even worse than Iggy was in this match because they were both trying to bowl terribly. So Iggy, towards the end of the game, finds himself with an easy spare, leaves the 2-4-5, one of the easiest spares for a right-handed player to convert. Everyone knew that Iggy easily could make the spare. As much as he tried to downplay his achievement, no one in the house was going to be fooled enough to think he couldn't convert this one spare, and Iggy knew that better than anyone. So he gets up on the approach thinking, if I convert the spare, I get shot by one backer. If I miss the spare, I get shot by the other. He's in the ultimate catch-22. So what does he do to get out of it? He fakes a heart attack after picking up his ball. He drops his ball to the ground, collapses to the ground. They call the paramedics. He gets removed from the place by ambulance, and that's how he got out of that situation. Now, speaking of things I found out about after writing the book, I later learned that Iggy, that wasn't the first time he had done that. He had done that several times, the fake heart attack routine, and then somehow survived. And that's why Mike Limangiello, when I caught up with him much later in his life, said to me he has no idea how Iggy never got shot.
I have no idea how most of these people never got shot. I mean, when you think about the underworld aspect of what we're talking about here, another thing that's interesting, too, ethnicity was such a big deal. You know, ethnicity these days, we were talking before we came on, we're both Italian-Americans, but the further you get away from the old country, the less and less that seems to really matter. Whether that's good or bad, we're more homogenized than we were. Hey, back then, it was a big deal. You're a Jewish guy, you're a Polish guy, you're an Italian guy, you were labeled as such. But I was impressed with the way these guys, in this dark world they were in, all sort of coexisted.
Oh, that's such a great point, Tony. There were people from many different walks of life who coexisted in this action bowling scene. The beautiful thing about it was that you had bakers and bankers. You had attorneys and janitors, all uniting under the same roof in the middle of the night for the fulfillment of this one passion of theirs, which was gambling. And they were all the same under that one roof. Yes, they returned to their differences after they walked out the doors at dawn, but between sunset and sunrise, man, they were all the same. It was all about gambling, all about the money, all about the adrenaline, the rush, the risk that they were taking, and the bowling itself. It was just unlike anything that really has existed since. And that was, you're absolutely right, one of the unique kind of signifiers of that world was how no matter what walk of life you came from, once you walked into those doors, man, you were just like anyone else, and those differences really didn't matter.
I'll tell you where you got me, and you went in check, a way check. Here where you get back to, and I was wondering early in the book, when is he going to get to the teenage hustler who becomes a bowling champion? Because yes, you never say in the book, this is the guy. You just sort of tell stories, and you build, and I love how you did that, and I appreciate the art and the way you put this book together, but you hooked me early on. I'm originally from Philadelphia, and I remember those alleys in the 70s, and when I go back there now and look around, where a bowling alley used to be, there's a shopping center, but on Route 1, they were all over the place, and you talk about a fish in Philadelphia. These kids from New York, they hear there's some action down the street, or we've burned out our gimmick.
Roger, Romeo, Bob, I hear Jemima, Whiskey, Balbina's license. Roger, Romeo, Lorna, 1814, Roger. Roger, back on 1840. You know what, playing it all there, Rodney, Hatchin, Himmaker, well done with a headbutt. Eye gouge. Oh, how can I be the mean, one, you know what, how can I be the man, some bots, I can never even think about the you know what, shot, rebound, kick, shape, he comes around with a wrap around, kick, hit the crossbar, ooh, just spotted it, shot, top, jump, get them, Himmaker, left, right, cross, counter, hook, out. Claw's got her hooked out. Finish him, finish him, finish him. Headbutt. Shake it, ooh, shake it, ooh, shake it, ooh.
Welcome in to a Sweet 16 edition right here of Neutral Zone. Hope you've had a great week. Decent weather week until today, but hey, you know what? God couldn't have planned it any better. We've got basketball back on the docket. Sweet 16 kicks off here in just a few moments. Miami Nova, first game to tip. A&M, Boomer Sooner, 7:37 tip. Then you've got the late tips, 9:40. These are estimated tip times. Maryland, the 5 seed, might give Kansas all they want. And then some, 9:40. And then perhaps the biggest disaster, probably the game most are looking forward to the most. Duke, Oregon. 10:07. I bet it goes off about 10:45. We'll take over-unders on that. 10:45, as I'm looking at my son thinking, yeah, you don't have school tomorrow, but you might get a half in there if you're lucky. 10:07, tip, Duke, Oregon. Some great matchups tonight. Who do you like? Call in, tell us, 200-542-200-5402. RG3 heading to Cleveland. Hugh Jackson. And the NFL just keeps Jerry Jones comes out last week and says CTE, the concussion reports, really, there's throw it against the wall, it's not going to stick. It really has nothing to it. I think the NFL is just, they're obviously, the NFL is king, but they are, they're feeding you a line if you don't think, the football, scientific evidence has shown us that and is starting to show more. Just look at some of these players like Jim McMahon, 10 years post football. It's March Madness time, baby. 200-5402 if you want to jump in with us. 200-5402 right here in the neutral zone. Hey, we got the crazy train, the hype train right here. The Hooper Hyper XP Aladocious is still ferocious as we'll get in here and talk some basketball with you, the living listener. If you want to jump in with us, you can. 200-5402. Again, Nova Canes. That didn't sound right. Nova Canes. Nova Canes, 7:10 tip. That sounds like a Briny Boy Hartman update. Shout out to Tony. You know, back in the day when Tony would be out on a remote somewhere and Briny Boy was in the old 1180 studios yelling through the mic. Tony. Nova Canes, 7:10 tip. Nova Canes. Miami and Villanova, 7:10. They get it started tonight.
A&M, Oklahoma, 7:37. Then you got Maryland and Kansas, the 5 versus the 1. And then the 4-1, 4 versus 1, Duke, Oregon. I picked Duke to beat Oregon in my bracket. Oregon's little flat coming out. I thought Martelli and the gang there really jumped on them. But I will say this, they found a way to win. They win the crazy they make the crazy uniforms. They take the number one seed there. I'll tell you what's really catapulted Duke and made them a true contender is the play of Ingram. Well, you're talking about a guy now who is averaging like 26, his versatility, 6'10", and can just play all over, a wingspan of 7'6", I believe. And he can handle the rock. Some are even saying he would be the number one pick today over Ben Simmons. I'd still go Simmons there. If you disagree, call in if you'd like. We'll debate it. 205-402. Random thought. Chocolate, dark chocolate especially, can boost your workout. So there you go. Who are the players tonight that you look to step up? Some great games as well tomorrow. If there's one team, I think if you're reseeding these 16 teams, where does Gonzaga fit in there? That was a team that was talked about, might not even make the tournament. Listen, that team may be going to the Final Four. I mean, that team is playing ball. They're big. They're long. They can defend. They have a half-court game. A lot said about this day and age where you have to have 9D, Jimmy Hyams, and you got to be able to, you know, get up and down the court. Hey, listen, it's all great, but if you've got 7 or 8 solid and you stay out of foul trouble and you play consistent and solid, we saw that last year with Wisconsin, really close from winning a national title, and, of course, they flushed the turds from Lexington. Always a great situation. A lot of people jumping on the Maryland bandwagon. This is a, you know, little aunt and I sit out there, and my boy, we sit out there at the great remote. Moosehead Lager brought it to us out at with Tony B's show there Thursday, opening day, that is, of the NCAA tournament. And out at Bearden Fieldhouse. And thanks again to Moosehead as just picking Little Ant's brain on it. And he knew about those players of Maryland, the Terps. That's a team that's got arguably one of the best backcourts. And if they can just, you know, you had a feeling if they could just all put it all together. They were athletic around the perimeter. Offensively, they were gifted. It was a matter, could Crean get the defense out of them? But you know what? He's gotten something out of them. I still say he's got to kick the door in and to get the Hoosier faithful off his back, because he's not very well liked, I guess. That's an understatement. But he's going to have to get to a Final Four and represent, because I just don't see Indiana fans falling in love with him. And, you know, if he cuts the nets down, we might be he might get a third of the fan base back. Let's do this. Let's open up the phone lines, 200-5402. Let's go ahead and crank it up. Let's see who's batting leadoff tonight. You know what? Let's change the theme a little bit. We are into spring training. We're all excited. 10 days away from opening day. Cubs are the World Series favorite. Get you some of that, Beano. Bachil. Let's crank it up right here. Opening tip. Let's see who wins the tip. You've won the tip. Who is this?
It's Arch.
Arch, a basketball mind,
yeah,
takes the opening tip. What's up, my man?
What up?
What up, dude?
It's funny you're talking about you're at 7. One thing I was going to talk to you about.
Say again. I'm sorry. What now?
You were talking about Omer Yurt 7 a little bit ago about being the number one pick, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Would
you do it?
Would I what? Take him number one?
Over Ben Simmons?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No.
I wouldn't either.
I'm a Celtics fan like you, Clone. I'd give me Ben. Although I'll say this about Ben Simmons. I don't know if it's a player taking on a coach's personality. I don't know if it's just who this kid is. I don't know if it'd be different if he had gone somewhere else. But I watch that kid play like the second half of the season. He's kind of lazy.
Who?
A lot of the time. He's just kind of Simmons is kind of a lazy player a lot of the time. He just kind of turn on, turn it off when he wants to kind of guy.
Yeah, I think there may be some signs there.
Which he can do in college, but I mean, he's going to get eaten alive in the pros if he does that.
Yeah, Jay Rich is certainly, he doesn't bring any lazy tendencies.
No, I haven't taken any plays off.
Wow, what a nice little start. I love watching him play too. I do too. I love the fact
really
he has a mid.
I like what Miami's doing. I heard Jarvis talking about that a week or so ago. So I love what Miami's doing. They're just, and I'm kind of an NBA guy like Jarvis too, and this LeBron thing is really odd.
Yes,
all this
it
LeBron
is.
Stuff, and I don't get caught
drama
in
queen.
Queen James drama, but
yeah.
I mean, it's really some weird stuff. All this Twitter stuff and the thing I'm reading this morning about him talking on camera about him and Chris Paul and Melo putting a super team together. Like, you already had that and you won. Shut up and play. Anyway, I didn't call to talk about LeBron James. Anyway, you're 7, kid. No, I wouldn't take him over Ben Simmons.
I wouldn't either.
But, everything I've read recently, he plans on going to college. He does not plan, even though he is a pretty much consensus lottery pick, he wants to get playing time in college. And, of course, Duke, Kentucky, Arizona, all the big schools been in on him. And but what he wants is playing time. And I don't know if that means he's coming to Tennessee. I guess by my count, we've got one more scholarship we can do, assuming nobody leaves. So if it's not him or a graduate transfer, I mean, certainly we're loaded at the guard and wing spots now for next year with Bowden. Your 7 would be unbelievable to get that guy.
Yeah, Hatfield's been saying, for a while that he thought, we had, that he liked our chances, that it's certainly improved over the last, little bit.
Yeah,
so.
I've kind of heard similar things. NC State's another one of those that's got, playing time to offer and a spot for him to offer and, good league, all that stuff.
Hey, you want a quick, I'm just going to tease you a little bit, Cub fan. Quick little update right here. I know it's spring training. I think the Cubs sort of know what they've got lineup wise. I think they're sort of just right now. There's not a lot of roster battles for roster spots. Listen, a lot of times that's why teams sort of struggle. In the spring, pitchers work on secondary stuff, but here's you a nice little, for baseball purists, here's you a nice little nugget right here, if you will. Lefty on lefty, won by Rizzo over arguably one of the top five, well, probably top two left-handers in the game, Madison Bumgarner. Single up the middle after fouling off three consecutive pitches. Plates Bryant to score 1-0. I know it's just spring, but it's nice to see guys like that. I won't say super sleeper, but legitimate with that lineup and protection around him. I love Bryant. I love Schwarber. I think pitchers are going to adjust to him some this year. I love the progressions with Addy, Russell, but watch Rizzo. If he doesn't get plunked a million times and break down, he could realistically be a long shot. Maybe, finishing that top three, as an MVP in the National League.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
he's not gonna put up Harper numbers. No one is in that league.
That guy's a freak. All that talk about Harper being a, $400 million player, which is just, I love how articles put that number out there like it's just a number, like $400 million contract. Like, that's just,
Yeah, probably.
You give $5 or something,
Yeah, it's like Lee
but
Steinberg.
Yeah, right. I think Rizzo's primed to have a huge year, barring injury. I don't know how people are going to pitch that Cubs lineup. I'm just.
Righty, lefty, lefty, righty, top lefty, six, righty, lefty, righty,
top
lefty.
Top six, top seven. How are they going to pitch this? Mm-hmm. Especially, the more I see spring training stuff and read just Jason Hayward, I mean, what a fantastic pickup for them.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the additions to me were one A, one B are, you know, and he's no chop liver. I think just for need and everything there, I think it's Zobrist and Lackey. But then I look at a guy like him and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, you got another lefty. Oh, you got a guy that can, you know, that can field. He can throw. He's running the bases better than he ever has. So with all that being said, yeah, they've still got they've got hope that hopefully Rondon is just working on some secondary stuff because he's gotten roughed up a little bit. So
I worry about is bullpen with them.
Got to be strong there on the back end, man, and watch Kyle Hendricks this year. I think as a number five starter, him going up, I'll take him, and I love the fact that every year his ERA and his WHIP, walks and hits per innings pitch, all that numbers are trending in the right direction. They're going down. He's never going to be a strikeout 8 to 10 guys, but you know if he strikes out 5 and gives you 6-7 innings, fantastic stuff. Arch, who do you like? Just looking at the first game, obviously, Villanova and, how'd you like that intro?
I like Miami.
Novocaine. You like Miami?
Nova's one of those consistently inconsistent teams in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a big believer in that kind of tournament pedigree of, you know, and kind of contrast that, like you're talking about with Gonzaga. I mean, you know, Gonzaga can be kind of hit and miss, but, you know, generally they always put together, you know, a pretty decent run when they hit the tournament, you know, like a handful of teams do. And Nova's just one of those teams that just is wildly underperforming in the tournament. Plus, I just, you know, Miami kind of has everything. I'll be honest, I didn't watch them a ton in the regular season, but watch some of their bigger games and then watch ACC tournament and have watched them every game in the tournament so far. And, you know, they've kind of got everything. They've got shooters. They've got a really good point guard, a real smart point guard.
Angel Rodriguez.
I love their length.
Yes.
I think that's going to be a problem for Villanova.
Have you watched Villanova a bunch? I've seen them a few times.
Enough. Yeah. They're a typical Jay Wright team. They're, you know, real guard oriented, real guard heavy. I mean, you know, good guards, especially, you know, point guard. Jalen Brunson's a nice player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're good. I'm not going to pretend like they're not good. I think when you get to the stage of the tournament, every game is going to be pretty close.
And they're at the first media timeout, by the way, 13:58. Taken it, but 10-7 Nova as Rodriguez with a finger roll. So that game's off and running. Quick start.
I'll take Miami up. I'll take, Oklahoma in the next game. That A&M team is good. That's a good basketball team. And I think their size might give Oklahoma some problems. But Jay Billis or somebody say several years ago, and I kind of, you know, which team's got more pros on the floor? I'll tell you, when it's kind of a toss-up game, give me the team that's got more pros on the floor.
Yeah.
I'll take Buddy Hield.
Yeah, and why is he not being touted or talked about in that lottery discussion? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's a real shame because he's just, you know, there's nothing not to like about that kid.
No, there's not. I mean, off the court, all the things. I mean, the things he brings.
When he just plays so hard. I mean,
yes.
You watch that last game. He just plays. So bad.
Yeah, me and my son were like, it was like, wow. I mean, we were both commenting at the same time, like, he doesn't get enough credit for his defense.
No.
That cat went up against a big, and I mean, his body, the ability to avoid body contact, and I mean, shifted his body in the air, and pinned it. The guy was trying to lay it up, pinned it with both hands.
He's super athletic.
Oh my God. I mean, unbelievable.
I think, you know, part of it too for Oklahoma is they're in Kansas' shadow, especially this year, you know, kind of season Kansas had. They're just, anybody that Big 12 is going to be Kansas' shadow.
Sure.
I think that's probably part of it. I mean, honestly, I felt like he was a real big deal coming into the season. You know, people were surprised he came back for this season. And, yeah, I mean, he could have gone and been a lottery pick. And he's still going to be a lottery pick.
I think so.
You know, he's just gotten kind of overshadowed, I guess, by Kansas for whatever reason. And what else you got tonight? Duke, Oregon. I really like that point Al Brown made. Yesterday, he gives Duke a week to prepare. They probably got a good shot to beat Oregon, but in a one-day turnaround, they're going to get exposed. That was a really good little bit of analysis there, I felt like. So, I don't know. I feel like it's probably a toss-up game. I picked Oregon in my bracket, but I'm not going to be surprised to see Duke win. And then, I don't know, what's the late one's Gonzaga. I've got, Gonzaga and what, Syracuse?
That one's actually tomorrow. Yeah, we've got,
a late game tonight.
Yeah, you've got,
that is a late game.
Yeah.
Duke Oregon's a late game.
Yeah, Duke Oregon, I mean, that's just horrendous. Why are you starting that game at 10 freaking 30? That is just stupid. I mean, you're basically eliminating your numbers for the East Coast. You've killed them. And I mean, I understand it's a, you know, it's a nationwide event and it's huge, but you think about East and you think of the, I mean, Duke fans are going to stay up and watch it, but, but I mean, it's crazy. And last thing when we get out the door here before I let you go, Kansas. To me, I know Wayne Selden, you hear a lot about him, but this isn't your typical, for a team to be the number one overall seed at that in the tournament.
Nobody's talking about him.
Well, no one's really talking about him, but I think a lot of it is because they don't, correct me if I'm wrong, you're more, you know, NBA evaluator than I am, but they don't have like, if I look at...
They don't have a star.
They don't have a bona fide star, a guy that you're going to go...
They've got guys that play roles. Which is odd for a Kansas team, to be honest with you. You know, they don't have a Wiggins. They don't have a Joel Embiid. They don't have, you know, guys like they've had in the past couple of years. You know, they've got a bunch of guys that play their role.
Yeah.
And I think, too, it helps. One thing that Kansas team does have this year that they don't always have is they've got quality veterans. You know, Perry Ellis is in his 13th season there. And, you know, but he's a good player and he's a good leader for that team. He's a guy that's not going to put up with any of that crap on the floor from any of those guys. Selden's, you know, kind of fiery guy. They just got some nice pieces. I don't feel like, I mean, I think they got a pretty easy draw all the way to the Final Four. I mean, even if they play, really, if they play Miami or Nova, I still think they're going to beat whoever they put in front of them. They got a pretty easy path to championship game, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the other side of the bracket's much tougher, personally.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, the kid, I try to pronounce his name, the kid for Villanova, he reminds me his game so much of like an Aaron Kraft, you know, not the most gifted, the RC Deschano or whatever his name is. My goodness, I mean, you know what? This might be, folks said, you know, this is the year that he finally kicks the door in, Jay Wright, because he's always got perimeter, but he said you know, they've actually got inside and they're one of the leading offensive rebounding teams, which is interesting because Miami's athletic as anybody. So that's going to be interesting.
I'll say one thing too that I always liked about the tournament, and yet it's kind of been a point of frustration for me as a Tennessee fan. You know, the last several years is, you know, you look at teams and it doesn't matter if they're mid-major or high-major teams. You know, you talk about Rodriguez for Miami. I'm thinking of that little point guard for Yale.
Yes.
You know, on and on. I can name a bunch of guys, but there is such a difference now in teams that have, I guess, how I would characterize them as basketball players and athletes.
Yep.
And Tennessee just woefully undervalues basketball players.
Yes, they do. Thank you.
Overvalues athletes.
And even Bruce Pearl. People can call, you know, can call him, but Bruce,
about it.
He was one of the worst. You're absolutely correct, man.
And we need some basketball players. I'm not saying you don't need athletes. You definitely need athletes. But you need basketball players, too.
Yeah. No question.
Anyway, I'm going to go away, Clone.
Hey, buddy. I appreciate you, Arch. See you, man.
Yeah, man.
All right, buddy. Hey, let's keep it rolling right here in Neutral Zone. Who we got? Yo, who we got here? All right, we're going to put you back on hold there. Somebody's got the Muzak going there. 1710 Villanova over Miami early. And Nova's come to play, man. This is going to be a tough match for Miami. Nova isn't, they're not playing. Shout out to my boy John Tweet tonight. He has a big, big night, from what I understand. And, doubt he will be participating in the neutral zone. Might not even see him on the Twitter tonight, so we might have to check up on John Tweet. He has a monumental night, perhaps. Buster Posey rips a single to center field, and jumping on Jake Arrieta are the San Francisco Giants. Let's see, 2010 doubling up Villanova. They're not playing, guys. They're coming in tonight. 2010 at about the halfway point. 22-10, 10:49. This Villanova team is a different team than Jay Wright has had in the past. So, good stuff. Let's do this though. Let's get our first break, and we'll do that as we'll load them back up here. 200-5402. If you want to jump in with us, you can. As some TR bumper requests there. Hey, clone.
Hey, can we get a Lady Ball report, Cloney, as I make my debut down at the Carolina Ale House tonight? Dude, what up, dude?
My boy TR was going down to the Will West stomping grounds tonight. He's gonna have him some brewskis.
Hey. Hey, dude, you may not want to drink a Schlitz on the air, but I was wondering if they make that in a vape. One of them, whatever you call that concoction there. Hey, what up, dude? Yeah, man, let's get some Schlitz on the vape. Schlitz flavored vape, man. You need to let me come in there and host the show with you and leave Josh Ward at the... Let him just go get a freaking pedicure. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Love my TR messages. He sent me one earlier. I'll see if I can pull it up. Because it was classic. You're going to come on back right here. If anything... Come back for some little entertainment. I know the games are on tonight. We'd love to hear from you, though. Chime in. Tell us who you think's going to win. 200-5402. We'll see you guys here on the other side. Come on back.
Yes. Yes.
Storage, residential and commercial moves. It's all covered, available 24/7 with a 1 hour notice. Royal Moving and Storage is locally owned, and we also do packing and internal moves too. Royal Moving and Storage does deliveries. Give my man Shane Grimes a call at 705-6928. That's 705-6928. 705-6928. Ready to move? Head to the Crown. The kings of moving and storage. Royal Moving and Storage.
With the fall upon us and football season here, finally, you can take all those honeydew items off your list. Check them off your list. Call my good friend Gene over at Knox Home Improvement at 386-9551.
Gentlemen.
Gene is the man with home improvement.
He is the quarterback in the Knoxville home improvement area.
Mike Weird, what's his business called?
Knox Home Improvement. 386-9551.
Whether it's interior, exterior, he can take great care of you.
TR, you tell me.
Hey, yeah, man, this guy's next level, brighter. Knox Home Improvement, dude.
He is the quarterback in the home improvement. He can do gutters. You've got gutter cleaning. He'll install siding. Pretty much anything under
hardwood
the sun.
Flooring?
Hardwood flooring, absolutely.
Painting?
Yes.
Knox Home Improvement. Call my boy Gene, 386-9551.
He do plumbing?
No, he doesn't.
No electrical, no plumbing. You know, if you need a doggy door installed, I'm sure this guy can do it for you. Gene at Knox Home Improvement, 386-9551.
Basilio here with the Clone. Cloney, tell me about Pal Station.
Well, it was formerly Vic's Craft Beer Garden. Unbelievable atmosphere. Pet-friendly, under new management. 27 beers on tap. You gotta love it.
27 beers on tap? That can make for quite a happy round table.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I tell you what, those growler sales and 4-packs and 6-packs to go, it's beautiful. 2 to 7 every day, a happy hour, $3.50 pints.
2 to 7 every day, happy hour. What was the deal on the pints again, Steve?
$3.50.
Yeah, you mumble a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Be a good, fun time down there to have you down there strumming the 6-string, because they got live music, too, and you can check their Facebook for that.
And they have great food to eat there, too, right, Cloney, at Pal Station?
Well, they do. They have great food, and you can even take it outside over a covered porch. TV's outside for great viewing. Football season's right around the corner. Let this place be the quarterback for the Knoxville craft beer destination.
Pal Station on the Bill Clinton Highway.
Right there across from Home Depot on Shod Road.
Pal Station, be there. Basilio's on a roll. Yeah, I mean really on a roll at the sushi spot. Come try my roll with crab yellowtail, jalapenos, tuna, spicy eel sauce, spicy spot sauce, sriracha, green onion, and tobiko. Yes. And Yoshi. And remember, Sushi Spot has a full hibachi menu if you like it hot, as well as traditional rolls, as well as specialty rolls like the basilio. And from the nigiri to the sashimi to the maki or just tamaki, Sushi Spot always delivers with a fresh and delicious taste. Also, your home of sushitizers. And remember, Sushi Spot features daily lunch specials and great dinner time deals too. Sushi Spot, where Basilio's on a roll, and you will be too. A great spot for lunch or dinner, Monday through Saturday off Emory Road, next to Tanoba North. You can eat it raw or not, but eat it at the Sushi Spot. Basilio here with a tip for the gambler out there. If you're going to gamble on a pre-owned car, do it with my friends at Carnes Motor Company. Rob, Brian, and Gino will take great care of you, as they have me for years. And all cars are inspected by a certified mechanic. And they do bumper-to-bumper service work there, too, with trained mechanics. When you're ready to gamble on a pre-owned vehicle, do it with Carnes Motor Company.
Join me Thursday night, 7 Eastern, in the neutral zone with the Clone here on TonyBasilio.com, and I guess on one of them old smartphone apps. Okay, then. Now back to my boy Basilio.
Oh, girl, any moment I may kiss your lips.
The Mavericks. Oh, what a thrill. Coming to Rhythm and Blooms in April. Fantastic group. I can hear Jimmy Himes singing this. I might need to study the lyrics on this and bust out some Himes on this.
Oh, what a thrill.
I want to dream. I broke a story.
Yes. Love it, Jimmy.
Woman, I break a story.
Your skin A&M and Oklahoma about to crank it up right here as we let Arch Madness start off the show there. Fantastic stuff from the Arch Madness. Still waiting on that TR call. I know.
Hey, Cloney. I think Holly, man, I think she's going to be cutting the nets down, Bo Clonio.
Lon Kruger, one of only two coaches to ever take five different schools. You heard me, five different schools to an NCAA tournament appearance.
What a thrill.
Send it in, Jerome! I tell you what, Oklahoma, what, they're not messing around right out of the chute. Would make Bill Walton happy as a nice little two alley-oops to start the game. We talked about Duke and Oregon later on. I got a great piece right here for you. This from back in the day, probably been at least 10, 12 years ago, the great. Well, I'll let the pimp master himself, the pimp in the box, introduce him. But, whoa, bad pass right there. He's going to send it in as he gets the double bounce dunk. It all counts.
If there's a way for me to work Pete Gillen into the show, I am going to do it.
Yes.
I mean, after all, certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver. Reruns?
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
I mean, what's better than that? One of the greatest lines ever. Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver.
Buddy Hield with an airborne. Duke is Duke. Airball.
They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
I mean, what's funnier than that? As long as that guy is involved in a game that matters, even a little bit, whether it's a first round game in the ACC tourney, or in the preseason, or an inter-squad scrimmage, whatever, I don't really care. It's just a reason for me to reset that certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly NC State is NC State. They lose more games to ranked teams than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
I mean, one of the greatest lines ever by Pete Gillen.
Pete Gillen is funny. Regardless of where he coaches, he gets in the jungle more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly that loss to Virginia, that loss to North Carolina State was a disappointment. It's worse than being on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly. The clones are clones. They're more annoying than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
God.
Certainly.
Pete Gillen with one of the greatest lines.
In the broom closet. He impregnates more Russian models than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly. Barry Zito likes dressing like a woman. He has more pink pillowcases than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
All right,
I think you get the point.
I think we do, Jim.
If there's any way for me to get Pete Gillen into the show, I will. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. And certainly Duke is Duke. And they're on my TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
That's funny. Some of these are actually more amusing the more you play them.
Oh, certainly Duke is Duke on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
That's funny.
Pete Gillen, an analyst, I believe for CBS.
The answer is really quite simple.
Last time I checked, sorry, Jim, we gotta get rid of that. But early on, Texas A&M out in front, 7-4, and you got Biggs shooting, over the back. So not what Oklahoma, wanted to see as, Mercy. Is this 34-30? Nova, Miami? Nova Canes! Wow. Unbelievable. My goodness. They are absolutely getting after it. A lot of three balls. Another three ball there for A&M. I think it's only fitting the day that Tony Basilio had his book corner up, which was fantastic, by the way. Buddy Hield backdoor. You got to respect the three ball. He'll take you off the dribble, too. 10-6, though. A&M looking good and firing. Another three. They're not going to respect him. He's just going to let him leave him out there. And A&M opposite. I mean, they're basically picking up right where they finished the last whatever it was, 54 seconds of the game, to win that game in double overtime. Excuse me, the other day, as they're looking to get Buddy Hield, to get him, off and running here, but they're definitely, they're accounting for him as, A&M is just, harassing and contesting every shot as we'd love to hear from you. 200-5402 if you want to jump in. 200-5402. I think arguably you could say, Carolina's probably playing. If you had to reseed the tournament right now, do you put them at the one right now? Would they be on the one line? Would it still be Kansas? It's interesting. I think you could argue either one. I'm not as big on Virginia. I think Virginia could win this round. I just don't know if I see enough out of Virginia offensively. I know you got to win with defense, tough rebounds, 50-50 balls. But I just don't know if they have enough. Iowa State and their style can give them fits. Oregon, you know, if they get by Duke tonight, I mean, all of a sudden, then you're looking at three games to cutting down the nets, and everybody's like, whoa, no way they were a number one seed. Sometimes, man, teams show up, and everybody thought that was an early out, a la
Clojo Martin, California. I thought we played pretty good basketball. I thought we, obviously, we had a tough break. Felt like our basketball team, you know, we left that tougher breed. I thought Whoopi Go Jim, I didn't think he brought his intensity as well on the sideline, but I thought, you know, overall his basketball, the culture and everything, you know, I think this is a pretty good basketball team. I like the direction we're going. Yeah, I'll argue to say I don't think we're as talented as people thought we were this year.
Well, that's interesting, Coach, because I think you got two lottery, if not three, that will be drafted in the first round, potentially. If they choose to come out. So I think you were stocked pretty well there, buddy.
I think Tennessee, I thought I had pretty decent talent there when I was in, I thought I left out in Tennessee. A lot of ingredients to make to prepare the meal. I just need to Donnie was able to duplicate what I built there when I was in Knoxville.
Your 205-402. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, we'll take requests. If you want to throw out a request out here, we'll get one in here. I've already got one from TR. I'm going to see, I'm going to grab me a quick break here before the top of the hour. But I do have a TR, I call it a T-mail that he left on the phone. I need to check with Basilio and see if he's left any here on the Basilio network. I think they've been a little too, well, maybe a little too salty. As, wow, no contact called there at all. That was chest to chest. They're letting them play Big East style basketball here tonight. As Nova off and running, 36-30, just under three, 37-30. Nova's legit, a legit two. Everyone thought they were an early exit. I had them winning and then losing to Miami, but certainly the more and more I thought about it. Another three ball has a good box out right there, but they're still not closing out on them. A&M, it looks like they're going to take their chances and let A&M shoot. As Buddy Hill gives it up right here, there's an open three. Maybe the foot on the line there, I'm not sure, but they give him the three. That'll be reviewed at the next timeout because they've not got better things to do. Well, let's just review every little shot. What I was saying earlier, Tony had a deep three ball right there. As Basilio had a great interview with the gentleman that wrote the book there and talked about the art of shooting, the jump shot. Fantastic read. It appears, need to really check into that if you haven't, and check it out on the, TonyBasilio.com. Check it out on his, book corner. And, I think it was an interesting, a lot of interesting, aspects of that. And I think, it's definitely a lost art. The mid-range jump shot. It's either the three ball or the dunk. But, I tell you what, some great shooters. Like John Paxson with the Bulls, guys like that that were never going to beat you off the dribble. Solid defensive guys that could guard the perimeter. Wasn't going to do a whole lot rebounding. But John Paxson, Steve Kerr, those guys really had to work on their craft. And some of the best spot-up shooters you'll see on any level, high school, college, pros, certainly. Sing it, Jimmy. You told me once we'd never fall, and you love me with all. Yeah, so one of my messages today from TR was so next level. He's like, hey, Clowney, is this a preempted dealio with the show? Am I gonna be able to catch it live and local in the living room? Buddy Hill backdoor cut, and he misses. Wow. An air ball and a missed layup already from Buddy. Bucktooth healed. No question, he's the player of the year. Oh, my boy Dan Dockich on the Twitter, reminding folks on the Twitter that no team from Kentucky left in the tournament. It's beautiful. Oh, what up, dude? I mean, dude, Louisville is just unbelievable. Give me a score update, 43-35. 43-35, my goodness. Hope you took the over, as that game has about reached the half. You think Larinaga is going to preach defense during his halftime sermon?
Well, I think Miami needs to let Angel Hernandez be the quarterback and get that team back in it.
deep three ball from A&M. They are not shy tonight. They are dropping. They are showing onions. Tonight, Oklahoma tries to answer, and it double bounce, hippity hop, scotch. And it falls. It's 18 all with 11 and change left. That's a no call. That's a very good no call. That guy was totally out of control. Oklahoma tries to give it up. A little too generous around the rim right there. As let's do this. Let's get us a call right here. See who we got right here in the neutral zone. Hey, welcome in. Who we got?
Hey, Kalani. It's Steve from Morristown.
Hey, what up, Steve?
Hey, Kalani. What do you make of RG3 signing with the Brownies tonight? Do you think RG3 can get himself back, or is this just another sign of just how aimless the Browns are? Or do you think there's some merit to what they did with him?
I sense some jealousy that perhaps maybe you are a rival of the Browns, that you were hoping for a little RG3 or either maybe a quarterback, depleted team, a fan from a team that maybe perhaps wanted some RG3.
Well, I mean, none of that's true, but...
Okay.
I'm just wondering from your standpoint about, I mean, you know, he's a guy that's relatively young.
Yep.
He's a guy that's not well liked by his teammates. He's a guy not highly thought of by his teammates. He showed himself to kind of be a horse's ass, you know, at times there. I just wonder what your take on him is, if you think that was a good signing by the Browns or if it's just a sign of desperation that they would sign him.
I haven't had a whole lot of time to look at it, but from what I know of him, I haven't really liked anything the Browns have done to this point.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe, Steve, that I feel like the biggest thing, Steve from Motown, is if he's willing to go in, I think the positives there, two things. I think the Browns, one, they're either going to prove all of us wrong or they're going to look like idiots, egg on their face with bringing a baseball analytics guy in. I think that's more success driven through baseball than any other sport. But I don't believe, I think Hugh Jackson is the biggest thing. I think we saw signs of Andy Dalton turning the corner last year and checking down, looking at his tight end a little bit more. We started seeing, Steve, I thought we started seeing a little bit better play there at the tight end position, using his backs, not just relying on, AJ Green. So I think with that being said, I don't know that he's a guy that's going to go in right away. I would aim towards the 2017 season. What was the investment? What do you get him for? Do you still draft a guy? I think what's going to be interesting now is, now they have a pretty good, I think they've got a pretty good, hand. I think the, leverage in saying to other teams, hey, look, we've got our quarterback. Sure, they can sell that to opposing teams and GMs and say, number two pick, come get it. What are you going to give us? Now, if they can flip that number two pick and still get a guy in free agency or in the draft, or, you know, say they use somebody, like a free agent, that can sort of just get them through this year and let Hugh Jackson kind of mold him in and let him watch and absorb and soak up some of the Hugh Jackson's knowledge. I think he's a pretty good guy with quarterbacks. I'm not sold on him going in there day one and being the starter and taking over. I think he still has a lot of question marks with his game.
Yeah, I really like, I like Hugh Jackson myself. I think that, wish my Eagles would have taken him. You know, up here in Morristown, we've got a guy named Jim that lives here. He's a big Titans fan. And, you know, you guys crack on the Browns, but I'll tell you something. My Browns, I believe, will be better than Jim's Titans 5 years from now. What do you think of that prediction? I tell my friend Jim that. He's always seems to be around.
Yeah, he does. I think it's interesting because he hasn't called this show in probably a year, but he usually occasionally hits me up about every other week wanting to know if, you know, the program's still on the air.
You got any samples? You got any samples?
Got any Keystone Light? Hey, clone. Got any Keystone Light? Hey, clone. Whoa, hey, Steve, can you laugh again real quick for me? Because that was kind of a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. But it kind of sounded familiar, Steve. Oh.
I was doing Philly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Colin, I'll say this for you. You're a brave guy going against the NCAA tournament. If I was going against